نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا زدنا علما، اللهم فقهنا في الدين، اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن نفس لا تشبع ومن دعوة لا يستجاب لها. آمين يا رب العالمين. Inshallah, we will begin from two ayahs before Juz 20th starts. Ayah number 54 of Surah An-Naml. وَلُوطًا إِذْ قَالَ لِقَوْمِهِ أَتَأْتُونَ الْفَاحِشَةَ وَأَنْتُمْ تُبْصِرُونَ. And mention Lot, Lut alayhi salam, when he said to his people, "Do you commit immorality while you are seeing," meaning homosexual acts, "while you are aware that it is wrong? Do you indeed approach men with desire instead of women? Rather, you are a people behaving ignorantly." But the answer of his people was not, except that they said, "Expel the family of Lot from your town. Indeed, they are people who keep themselves pure." They were sneering at Lut alayhi salam. "Oh, you think you are so high above us. Allah says so he saved them and his family except for his wife. We destined her to be of those who remained behind." We have already learned that she was a supporter of their lifestyle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "And we rained upon them a rain of stones, and evil was the rain of those who were warned." Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillahi wa salamun ala ibadihi. Praise be to Allah and peace upon His servants whom He has chosen. Is Allah better or what they associate with Him? More precisely, is He not the best who created the heavens and the earth and sent down for you rain from the sky, causing to grow thereby gardens of joyful beauty which you could not otherwise have grown the trees thereof? Is there a deity with Allah? A ilahum ma'allah? Bal hum qawmun ya'dilun. No, but they are a people who ascribe equals to Him. Is He not best who made the earth a stable ground and placed within its rivers, and made for it firmly set mountains and placed between the two seas a barrier? A ilahum ma'allah? Is there a deity along with Allah? No, but most of them do not know. Is He not best who responds to the desperate one when he calls upon Him and removes evil and makes you inheritors of the earth?" Meaning it is Allah who responds to the dua of every single person. A ilahum ma'allah? Allah asks. Is there a deity with Allah? Meaning who answers your dua? No one other, not a single other person, not a single other soul, not a single other creation, not anything in the heavens or earth can respond to the dua except Allah. Allah clearly states that, and He says, "Is there a deity along with Allah?" But Allah says, قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. In a Sahih Hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, "Three du'as, three supplications are surely accepted, in which there is no room for doubt. One, from an oppressed person. Two, by a traveler. And three, from a father against his children." The fact is, in all of three cases, these three people, the three kinds of people, the one who is oppressed, the traveler, and the father, are desperate. They are all oppressed. There is no curtain between the dua of an oppressed person and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. "Little do you remember. Is He not best who guides you through the darknesses of the land and sea, and who sends the winds as good news before His mercy?" Meaning the winds bring news of rain. Allah says, "A ilahum ma'allah? Is there a deity with Allah? Ta'ala Allahu amma yushrikun. High is Allah above whatever they associate with Him. Is He not best who begins creation and then repeats it, and who provides for you from the heaven and earth? A ilahum ma'allah? Is there a deity with Allah? Say, produce your proof if you are truthful. Say, none in the heavens and earth knows the unseen except Allah, and they do not perceive when they will be resurrected. What could be clearer than this? Man is a general statement. Man is a general word for everyone, whoever it may be. It encompasses a tremendous amount. It is not for a small amount, but man means no matter how many there are, none of them. None of them can know anything about the unseen in the heavens or the earth. Illallah. Here's an exception. Only Allah. It is only Allah. And these so-called deities, they do not perceive when they will be resurrected. So no one other than Allah knows ghaib. The people who have passed away, they have no idea when they themselves will be resurrected. The Prophet ﷺ was instructed to tell people that all creatures that live in the heavens, like angels, and all the creatures that live in this world, like humans and jinns, none of them have any knowledge of the unseen except Allah. The Prophet ﷺ was told to tell people that he did not have knowledge of ghaib either, except what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to him as revelation. So in essence, what is the criticism leveled against the polytheists, the disbelievers? How do they quote unquote worship these so-called idols? And why do they think they can do that? Whenever you ask them who created the heavens and the earth, they say Allah. They believe in the supreme God. But Allah brings out two other points in this discourse from ayah number 61 to 65, 66, that the kuffar feel that it is appropriate to worship someone other than Allah. So first of all, we need to understand what they believed worshipping was. Rituals, yes. Sacrifice, yes. But also dua. Remember the Prophet ﷺ said, "Ad-du'a'u hiya al-ibadah." Dua is worship. So they would designate this worship, making of dua, to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A lot of those so-called deities were pious people from their own communities who were looked up to. And after they died, people started thinking that we should make dua to them. The basis of this whole ritual was they thought that these spirits, the spirits of these predecessors, can hear and they know the unseen. Allah clearly negates this concept in ayah number 65. Say, none in the heavens and earth knows the unseen except Allah, and they do not perceive when they will be resurrected. They themselves have no idea when they will be resurrected. So that was the first point. The second point is, in an earlier ayah in 62, Allah says He is the one who responds to the call of the desperate one when He calls. Because when they were desperate, they would only call to Allah. So Allah says, when I hear those calls of yours, why would I not hear the other du'as of yours? The word here is da'ahu, du'a. So when they would make du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah would respond and He would take care of them. But He says, why then do you designate those du'as to those entities who don't even know ghaib, have no idea about what is going to happen to them either? They don't know the future, neither do they know what's going on with you. Allah tells us in the Quran that when He will ask Isa alayhi salam, for instance, did you tell these people to worship you besides me? Isa alayhi salam will absolutely negate that. He said, no, I never told them that. Plus, Allah quotes him and says, Isa alayhi salam will say, I do not know what they did after me. And every prophet will say that, including the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is so clear in the Quran. It was so clear in the teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we see that the Sahaba were absolutely certain of this concept. Dua is only to be relegated, directed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nobody else. Now, some scholars say they talk about the different ahadith and they bring them saying that you can ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a'udhu billah directly for something, or that you can use his name as a wasila in your du'as. Well, first of all, those ahadith a lot of them are weak ahadith, and there's a tremendous amount of difference of opinion in their interpretation as well, including their chains of transmission. When you have something like that, you cannot use those evidences to define your aqidah, your basic belief, when you know from the Quran that something like this, like calling upon other than Allah, is clear shirk, because this was the religion of the kuffar of Makkah. This point cannot be stressed enough, because sadly, unfortunately, many Muslims have been misled, and they insist on calling upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They insist on using his name as wasila, whereas he specifically came to remove this kind of connection. He specifically came to remove this kind of religion. Subhanallah. Allah says, rather their knowledge is arrested concerning the hereafter. Rather they are in doubt about it, Allah says. Rather they are concerning it blind, the people who associate partners with Allah. Allah says, and those who disbelieve say, when we have become dust as well as our forefathers, will we indeed be brought out of the graves? We have been promised this, we and our forefathers before. This is not but legends of the former peoples. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, proceed through the land and observe how was the end of the criminals, and grieve not over them, or be in distress from what they conspire. And they say, when is the fulfillment of this promise, if you should be truthful? Say, perhaps it is close behind you, very near, some of that for which you are impatient. And indeed your Lord is full of bounty for the people, but most of them do not show gratitude. And indeed your Lord knows what their chests conceal and what they declare. And there is nothing concealed within the heaven and the earth, except that it is in a clear register, in the preserved slate, Lahul Mahfuz, which is with Allah. Inna haza al-Qur'ana yaqussu ala bani Israila أكثر الذي هم فيه يختلفون. Indeed, this Quran relates to the children of Israel most of that over which they disagree. And indeed, it is guidance and mercy for the believers. Surely your Lord will judge between them by his wise judgment, and he is the exalted in might, the knowing. So rely upon Allah. Indeed, you are upon the clear truth. First, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about the mushrikeen, the polytheists. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the disbelievers from the people of the book, the Bani Israel. Allah says, you need to be confident that you are upon the right path. And we need to feel the same way as well. Remember in the previous ayah in Surah An-Naml, Allah says, قُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ وَالسَّلَامٌ عَلَىٰ عِبَادِهِ. Say, praise is to Allah and peace upon His servants whom He has chosen. What are these servants? The servants who are upon Tawheed, who do not commit even a thread of shirk in their lives. Allahumma ja'alna minhum ya rabbal alameen. So why did these people persist in disbelief? Allah says, innaka la tusmi'ul mawta. Indeed, you will not make the dead hear, nor will you make the deaf hear the call when they have turned their backs retreating. Subhanallah. What an amazing analogy. It is as if they are the walking dead. It is as if they are not just deaf, but they have turned their backs around. Why? Because if someone is unable to hear, but they're facing you, they can still gauge that you're saying something to them. They might be able to read your lips, or you can make them understand through gestures. But once they have turned their back and they're walking away, there is no way for them to hear you. Allah says, and you cannot guide the blind away from their error. You will only make hear those who believe in our verses, so they are Muslims. Fahum Muslimun. Belief comes from the heart. So Allah says the status of the heart is different. Remember, Allah also says in the Quran, it is not the eyes that are blind, but the hearts are blind. So this is the status of their hearts. The hearts are dead. The hearts are deaf. The hearts are blind. Allah save us from that. Ameen. The last and final point with regards to shirk and the religion of the polytheists is, they believed that the dead can hear. Allah here says, إِنَّكَ لَا تُسْمِعُ الْمَوْتَ. You cannot make the dead hear. In Surah Fatir also Allah says, وَمَا أَنْتَ بِمُسْمِعٍ مَنْ فِي الْقُبُورِ, and you cannot make those who are in their graves to hear. On the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran itself that the martyrs, the shuhada, enjoy the blessings of Jannah and they feel happiness at being in Jannah. And we know that at the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba would go there, stand with dignity and respect and say salam to him. But that was the only thing they did. Why did they do that? Because said whenever someone sends salam on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from wherever he or she may be in any part of the world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts his spirit back into his body so he can reply to that person. Now, who controls the situation? Allah tells us very clearly in the Quran that you cannot make the dead hear. And we also know from the previous ayah that no one in the heavens or the earth knows the unseen. So what is the final conclusion? Follow the Quran and Sunnah very strictly and very clearly, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save us from all kinds of shirk. Allah then gives us a major sign of the Day of Judgment. He says, and when the word, meaning decree, befalls them, meaning at the approach of the hour, we will bring forth for them a creature from the earth speaking to them, saying that the people were of our verses, Allah's verses, not certain in faith, la yuqinun. It is reported in Musnad Ahmad through Hudhayfa radiallahu anha that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the last day would not come until you witness 10 signs of it. The 10 major signs are, first, the appearance of the sun from the west, the second, Dukhan or smoke, the third, Da'batul Ard, meaning the beast coming out of the earth, fourth, coming of Ya'juj and Ma'juj, Gog and Magog, fifth, the descent of Isa, alayhi salam, sixth, the coming of the Dajjal, and then seventh, eighth, and nine, three lunar eclipses together, one in the west, second in the east, and third in the peninsula of Arabia, and tenth, a fire that will emerge from the Gulf of Aden and drive everyone towards the plain of Mahshar, meaning the gathering. Wherever people will stop for the rest at night, the fire will also stop there and will drive them again the next day. And this is from Muslim and Tirmidhi. This animal will be extraordinary. It will not be born in a normal way. Instead, it will emerge from the ground all of a sudden. Think back to the female camel which came out of the mountains as a test for the previous nations. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said he heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say that among the last signs of the doomsday, the last hour, the first would be the rising of the sun from the west. And after that, the creature would come out. Out of the two signs, whichever appears first, then the last hour will soon follow. وَيَوْمَ نَحْشُرُ مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ فَوْجًا. Allah says, and mention the day when we will gather from every nation a company of those who deny our signs, and they will be driven in rows. Until when they arrive at the place of judgment, He, Allah, will say, did you deny my signs while you encompass them not in knowledge? Or what was it that you were doing? And the decree will befall them, meaning the command of Allah about them will come to pass, for the wrong they did, and they will not be able to speak, they will not be able to give any excuse that day. Do they not see that we made the night that they may rest therein, and the day giving sight? Indeed, in that are signs for a people who believe. Just these two things, Allah says, if you just consider these two things, the day and night, and its alternation, this is enough for a person to believe. وَيَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي الصُّورِ فَفَزِعَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ. And mention the day the horn will be blown, and whoever is in the heavens and whoever is on the earth will be terrified, except whom Allah wills, and all will come to Him humbled. فَفَزِعَ meaning perplexed, terrified. In another ayah in the Quran, Allah uses the word صَائِقَ meaning losing consciousness. If both these verses are taken to refer the first blowing of the horn, then it means that at the time of the blowing of the sur, the first time, everyone will become terrified, perplexed initially, And then out of terror, they will lose consciousness and then they will die. So everyone who remains on the earth alive at that moment, the last hour, will die when the sur is blown, the horn is blown the first time. Then Allah says, Illa ma sha Allah. This is the exception from faza'a, meaning the panic and perplexity. So here we see that there will be people who will not be nervous at all at the time of resurrection. And there is a hadith which reports that Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, these people will be the martyrs. At the time of the second life and resurrection, they will not get nervous, meaning when they are brought back to life. Allah tells us that some people will be at peace when they are brought back to life from their graves, because the angels will greet them and say salam to them. And from the asar, from the narrations, it is possible that these are also the martyrs who will not feel that terror on that day. And then the exception will be also for those who become unconscious or die. Here also the exception is made, according to one hadith, for the six angels, meaning Jibril alayhi salam, Mikail alayhi salam, Israfil, Malakul Maut, and the ones who carry the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Later, however, they will also die, which is also explained by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remain. وَيَبْقَى وَجْهِ رَبِّكَ ذَا الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ وَتَرَى الْجِبَالَ. Allah says next, and you see the mountains, thinking them rigid, while they will pass as the passing of clouds. The earthquake, the sur, the sound is going to be so shattering and so powerful that it is going to make the mountains crumble into dust. Allahu Akbar. Allah says, it is the work of Allah who perfected all things. Indeed, He is acquainted with that which you do. The deity who can turn mountains into dust can do anything. There is no power except with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Man ja'a bil hasanati falahu khayrun minha. Whoever comes at judgment with a good deed will have better than it, and they from the terror of that day will be safe. Allahumma ja'alna minhum ya rabbal alameen. Allah is so generous, so kareem, that when we do a good deed, Allah will reward us with more than what we have done. Alhamdulillah. Allah says then, and whoever comes with an evil deed, their faces will be overturned into the fire, and it will be said, are you recompensed except for what you used to do? Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I have only been commanded to worship the Lord of this city, Makkah, who made it sacred, and to him to whom belongs all things. And I am commanded to be of the Muslims, وَأُمِرْتُ أَنْ أَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, and to recite the Qur'an, وَأَنْ أَتْلُوَ الْقُرْآنَ. Tilawa means to not just recite, but tala yatlu means to follow. So recitation means not just reading it, but following it as well. Allah then says, and whoever is guided is only guided for the benefit of himself. And whoever strays, say, I am only one of the warners. And say, Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah. He will show you His signs and you will recognize them. And your Lord is not unaware of what you do. Suratul Qasas. Qasas means the narrative or story. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ta Sin Mim. Tilka Ayatul Kitabil Mubin. These are the verses of the clear book. We recite to you from the news of Moses and Pharaoh in truth for a people who believe. Indeed, Pharaoh exalted himself in the land and made its people into factions, oppressing a sector among them, slaughtering their sons and keeping their women alive. Indeed, he was of the corruptors. And we wanted to confer favor upon those who were oppressed in the land and to make them leaders and make them inheritors and establish them in the land and show Pharaoh and his minister Haman and their soldiers through them that which they feared. Allah wanted to show through the Bani Israel that which they feared. What was that? Losing their kingdom and losing their authority by the very slaves they treated as animals. In fact, worse than animals. And this is the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with oppression. A person who is oppressed is going to overcome. But it requires patience and tawakkul, trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Finally, the days of oppression of the Bani Israel were over. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appointed Musa al-Islam. He chose him, he appointed him, and he trained him to lead the Bani Israel. Allah says, when Musa al-Islam was born, "And we inspired to the mother of Moses, saying, suckle him. But when you fear for him, cast him into the river, and do not fear and do not grieve. Indeed, we will return him to you and will make him one of the messengers." Allah uses the word wa'awhayna, wahi. Allah sent wahi to Musa alayhis-salam's mother. Now, we do not know what form it was in. Perhaps it was a dream, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, good dreams are 1/40th part of wahi, and Allah knows best. Allah says, "And the family of Pharaoh picked him out of the river so that he would become to them an enemy and a cause of grief. Indeed, Pharaoh and Haman was his minister, and their soldiers were deliberate sinners." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Musa alayhi salam's bassinet stop by the palace. Alhamdulillah. And he made his wife Asiya fall in love with the baby. All of this was done by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that the Pharaoh himself would take care of his own enemy in his home. And that is to this day one of the greatest signs of the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Pharaoh had lost power the minute Musa alayhi salam was born. And he was in a sense nurturing his own death. Allah then says, "And the wife of Pharaoh said, he, Musa alayhi salam, will be a comfort to the eye," meaning it will be a pleasure for me and for you. "Do not kill him." He was obviously the child of one of the Bani Israel. "And it is amazing, women can make men do anything, even a man like Fir'aun." Subhanallah. So she said to him, "Do not kill him. Perhaps he may benefit us, or we may adopt him as a son." And they perceived not. They had no idea what was happening. Allah says, "And the heart of Moses' mother became empty of all else. She was about to disclose the matter concerning him, had we not bound fast her heart that she would be of the believers." She almost gave in because she was so afraid. And she said to his sister, "Follow him." So she watched him from a distance while they perceived not. The girl was following the bassinet as it was floating across the river. "And we," Allah says, "had prevented from him all wet nurses before." Remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had inspired Musa alayhi salam's mother to nurse him before she put him in the bassinet. So Musa alayhi salam was now used to his mother's milk. So Allah says, "And we had prevented from him all wet nurses before." So Allah made him dislike the milk of any other woman. Why? We will see. So she, the sister, said, "Shall I direct you," she's talking to the people in the palace, "shall I direct you to a household that will be responsible for him, for you, while they are to him for his upbringing sincere?" So we restored him to his mother that she might be content and not grieve, and that she would know that the promise of Allah is true. But most of them, that is the people, do not know. And that was another amazing miracle. The mother, who was so deathly afraid for her child, was now reunited with the child. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made that happen so that she would not grieve anymore, and that her wahi would be confirmed. Allah says, "And when he attained his full strength and was mentally mature, we bestowed upon him judgment and knowledge. And thus do we reward the doers of good. وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ." He was a young man, strong man. But Allah gave him hukmah wa ilma. Allah says the same thing about Yusuf alayhi salam. And he also says about him, just like Musa alayhi salam, this is how we reward the doers of excellence. Who are these muhsinin? People who love Allah, who rely upon Allah, who are pious. Those are the muhsinin. Allah says, "And he entered the city at a time of inattention by its people." So Musa alayhi salam is walking around the city during the noon period of rest, and found therein two men fighting, one from his faction and one from his enemy. And the one from his faction called for help to him against the one from his enemy, meaning one of the Bani Israel was fighting one of the Egyptians. So Moses struck him and unintentionally killed him. He struck the Copt, the Egyptian, and killed him. Moses said, "This is from the work of Satan. Indeed, he is a manifest misleading enemy." Suddenly he realized his mistake. He said, "Look," he immediately said, Allah tells us, "Qala Rabbi inni zalamtu nafsi faghfirli." So Allah says, "My Lord, indeed I have wronged myself, so forgive me." Allah says, "Faghfara lahu." Fa means immediately after that. Allah forgave him. Why? Because he was sincere and truly repentant from such a grave sin. Allah forgave him. Allah says, "Innahu huwa al-ghafuru rahim." Indeed, he is the forgiving, the merciful. He, Musa alayhi salam, then said, "My Lord, for the favor you bestowed upon me, I will never be an assistant to the criminals." Now this is a favor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has particularly bestowed upon Musa alayhi salam. What was that? He definitely realized that he was growing up in the palace of the Pharaoh. He was one of those who had survived. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had saved that baby from being killed. And then remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also sent an inspiration to the mother of Musa alayhi salam, that Musa alayhi salam, her son, was going to grow up to be a prophet. So perhaps he knew that. We see that this young man is very pious and he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he promises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never to return to this again, that he will never be an assistant to criminals. And he became inside the city, fearful and anticipating exposure. So he was suddenly afraid of what might happen to him now. When suddenly the one who sought his help the previous day cried out to him once again. So Musa alayhi salam was there in the city for another day. And he heard in the area of the city, the same man from the Bani Israel who was in trouble the day before with the Egyptian crying out again. Moses said to him, "Indeed, you are an evident, persistent deviator." And when he wanted to strike the one who was an enemy to both of them. Now Musa alayhi salam realizes that this man from his own clan, the Bani Israel, was the one who causes trouble because he loves to pick fights. So the next day he's again in a fight with someone. So he says, "Indeed, you are an evident, persistent deviator." So he gets into the middle of this fight again. And he realizes again that the Bani Israelite is the one who is in the wrong. So he wants to hit him. Musa alayhi salam wants to hit him now and stop him from fighting the other man. So Allah says, and when he wanted to strike the one who is an enemy to both of them, meaning Musa alayhi salam and the other man, whoever he was that the Israelite was fighting, he, the Israelite, said, "O Moses, do you intend to kill me as you killed someone yesterday? You only want to be a tyrant in the land and do not want to be of the amender." Subhanallah. Yesterday, Musa alayhi salam had come to his aid, to this very man's aid. And because of that, he had hit the Egyptian too hard and caused him to die. And now this man turns around and is blaming Musa alayhi salam. Subhanallah. At that moment, Allah says, and a man came from the farthest end of the city running. He said, "O Moses, indeed the eminent ones are conferring over you, intending to kill you. So leave the city. Indeed, I am to you of sincere advisers." Obviously, they were jealous that Musa alayhi salam, despite being of the slave children, was being brought up in the palace. And obviously, the Pharaoh did not really have any feelings for him either. He had only accepted him to be brought up in the palace because of his wife. So now came a chance to get rid of him. So Musa alayhi salam left. Allah says, so he left it, fearful and anticipating apprehension. He said, "My Lord, save me from the wrongdoing people." Again, he immediately turns to Allah and asks him a dua and for help. And when he directed himself toward Madian, he said, "Perhaps my Lord will guide me to the Sand Bay." So he turned a certain direction and started walking. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the one who was bringing him to a certain place to give him refuge. Allah says, and when he came to the water, meaning the well of Madian, he found there a crowd of people watering their flocks, and he found aside from them two women driving back their flocks. He said, "What is your circumstance?" They said, "We do not water until the shepherds dispatch their flocks, and our father is an old man." So they were finding it very difficult to give water to their animals because the men had surrounded that well. So Musa alayhi salam stepped in to help the women. Allah says, so he watered their flocks for them. Then he went back to the shade and said, my Lord, indeed I am for whatever good you would send down to me in need, faqir, beggar. Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. We see that Musa alayhi salam was not shy to approach the women because they were in dire need to ask them if they needed any help. And we see that the women were also not shy, so and they told him directly what they needed. They were upfront about it and accepted his help. It was a very natural way of conversation between strangers of the opposite sex. The other thing to note is that Musa alayhi salam is tired from a long journey. He has been running for his life. He was afraid of death. And then he has nowhere to go. He knows nobody in this place. He's exhausted, hungry, thirsty. And yet when he sees these two women who need something, he does not even think about himself. Without hesitation, he comes to them and offers to help them. Living in suburban areas, we don't really realize the amount of physical effort it takes to farm or to take care of animals. Dusty, thirsty, tired, he had to gather all of the animals, push through the crowds of men with their animals there, and make sure that every single animal of the two girls got something to drink, and then he gathered them back again and gave them to the girls. After that, he was exhausted, and he sat down. Having helped others despite the fact that he himself was needy, he sits down now, rests under a tree, and simply asks God. He says, Ya Allah, my Rabb, my nurturer, my creator, whatever you send down to me from above, I need it. I am a beggar for it. I have nothing, and I'm waiting for you to grant me. Sitting under a tree, alone, afraid, hungry, thirsty, exhausted, he turns to Allah again.